I'd like to welcome everyone and call to order this August the 24th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and the witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah ZBA are final, and challenges to the decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have a cell phone or noise-making device, please silence it at this time. If you will, stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, and thank you for a time to come together to do the business of this city. Lord, we ask your blessings on these proceedings, on our city, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray and ask your blessings on every marriage and every family in Savannah and Chatham County. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, if you're planning on giving testimony here today, if you will, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay. All right. First, we're going to have the approval of the minutes from the July 27th, 2023 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion.
Mr. Conan has made a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the minutes are approved. Do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. The final agenda is approved. First, we're going to hear the petition for 216 and through 218 West 43rd Street. This is a variance to the minimum interior side yard setback, 23-003969.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and board members. This is Melissa Lito from MPC staff. The nature of the request is a variance to allow a proposed duplex to have side stoops on each side of the two units, which would encroach into the required minimum interior side yard setback of 3 feet to a 0-foot side interior setback at 216-218 West 43rd Street. A little background, there was a two-story duplex pictured here on the screen that was constructed circa 1916, which previously existed on this property. However, the building was recently demolished because of extensive fire damage. The applicant received a certificate of appropriateness from the Historic Preservation Commission on May 25th, 2022, approving for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, attached townhouses. At the subject property, the plan submitted had the side porches for both units that encroach into the minimum 3-foot interior side yard setbacks. This is what's existing now, a vacant lot. There is currently two vacant lots located within the local streetcar historic district and within the TN2 traditional neighborhood 2 zoning district. Each parcel is 1,800 square feet in size with a lot width of approximately 72 feet. The subject properties face West 43rd Street and are located between Jefferson and Barnard Street. Each townhome is proposed to have a projecting bay with an open gable roof and a full width front porch. A side porch is proposed to function as a secondary form of ingress and egress for each dwelling unit. The side stoop are the reasons for the variance request. This is the existing site plan with the two parcels. This is the proposed site plan. And with the red rectangles on each side, that's where the stoops are. And they have stairs going to the rear yard and stairs going to the front yard. And then let me show you an elevation. So you'll enter to one unit on the right, and then you enter to the one unit to the left, where there's a little overhang here on this side and an overhang on the left side. Those are where the stoops will be, and these are the stairs. It's under 3 feet of height is the side stoops. And then this is what it looks like from the rear elevation. So again, the stairs going to the rear of the property and the overhang. The requested variance going under the variance criteria. The requested variance is consistent with the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The variance seeks to maintain a secondary ingress egress by having a side porch stoop with stairs to the front and rear yard on each side of the two units. There are no special conditions that are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved. The applicant could position the stoops toward the rear of each of the dwellings. However, let me show you the site plan again. The rear yard is showing on the proposed design where HVAC equipment and trash bins will be located, and then a parking space for each dwelling unit. The literal interpretation of the regulations would result in undue hardship on the applicant, as a variance is required to construct the side stoops for a secondary egress and ingress. The variance, if granted, would not confer special privileges that are denied to similar properties with the same zoning district. Other residents located within the TN2 zoning district would be required to follow the TN2 development standards or apply for a variance to the standards, such as the applicant has done. And staff's recommendation. Based upon the variance criteria, staff recommends approval for a variance to allow for a 3-foot reduction of the 3-foot side interior yard setback in order to construct a porch stoop for units 216 and 218 West 43rd Street on each side of the dwellings.
Thank you, Mrs. Leto. Does anyone have any questions for staff? You do? Go ahead, Mrs. Jarrett.
I was just curious. They cannot put the stoops in the back?
Well, my comment was that they could, but based on their proposed design, they have placed the HVAC equipment and the trash bins.
Have the building code officials and the fire department looked at this? And one of those stoops looks really close to the adjacent house.
I would have the applicant speak to that.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Leto. Would the applicant please come forward?
Yes. Hello. My name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. I'd like to thank staff for their review and recommendation. And to answer Ms. Jarrett's question, these lots are 20 feet wide, which means we designed the floor plans almost like shotguns where you have rooms just stacked on one another. And we do have a bedroom on the first floor. And we're trying to avoid having, if we put the entry into on the back, it'd go into the bedroom. So we're trying to avoid that and have a side entry that goes into the kitchen so that when they pulled into their driveway, they could go straight to the kitchen. So that's why it's located on the side and not the rear. Any other questions?
Any other questions for the applicant?
I do. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The applicant chose to do this side-by-side duplex on a 20-foot lot as opposed to garden-style duplex on a 20-foot lot. Historically, when you were on lot lines, many of the houses here in Savannah, as you know, because you're an expert in this particular subject, have recessed entrances. What would prevent you all from putting a recessed entrance on the side rather than putting porches out to the zero lot line?
We looked at that as well. And what it would do, we would be required to have a landing at the stairs. Sometimes historically you'd have the recessed entries that would have stairs straight to a door, but this would require a landing, which would, of course, take away interior floor space for the kitchen. So we opted not to do that because it was going to impact the floor plans.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Go ahead. Has the fire department said anything about this yet? Or the building code official?
Yes, they have obviously recommended.
They're okay.
Well, they wanted us to get approval here first.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, if you use the raise your hand feature, we'll recognize you. Okay. Then we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Condon?
I'm just not a fan of zero lot line building. I just don't think it makes sense. And we're dealing here with a townhouse style duplex on a 20-foot wide lot. I agree with Mr. Ward. I mean, they're trying to squeeze an awful lot into this thing, that's for sure. But it doesn't seem to me to be this is their only choice. I think if they had an upstairs and a downstairs situation, you know, they could still put a duplex together. It just doesn't have to be shaped like this. So that's my concern.
Y'all, no more comments? Mm-hmm. Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
Go ahead, Mr. Chair. I'll second the motion.
Better hear it first. All right, y'all, we got to go somewhere.
I make a motion that we deny the application.
Second.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny the petition for variance, and it is seconded by Mrs. Jarrett. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes, and the request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 909 Whittaker Street, 23-004004-ZBA.
All right. Good morning again. Thank you. This is for 909 Whittaker Street. The applicant is requesting to construct a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property located at 909 Whittaker Street. The ground floor would be a three-car garage. This is the existing primary principal dwelling facing Whittaker Street. This is the rear of the property. And here's a pictogram of the property with carriage houses to the left and to the right. This is the boundary survey of the principal dwelling, and this is their rear yard. What they're proposing to do is the ground floor would be a three-car garage, while the upstairs would be an accessory dwelling unit. The proposed design would require the following variances to the amended ADU ordinance. To allow an accessory dwelling unit to exceed 700 square feet to 972 square feet in size. To allow the accessory building to exceed 15 feet, in this case it would be proposed as 25 feet in height. In the ordinance, it requires if you go over 15 feet, you must have 15 feet of a rear property line, but only if you're abutting a lane. And whereas this is not a lane in the rear yard, it's Howard Street is their is their street that faces the rear yard. Just going to give you a little bit of background. The subject property, the parcel is located within the National Register Historic District, West Victorian District neighborhood, the TN1 zoning district, and in the Victorian Historic District. The principal building was constructed in 1899 and is a contributing building to the district. Historically, 1888, this site first had a two-story stable at the rear of the property along Howard Street. The principal building did not exist at the time. By 1898 Sanborn map, the principal building appears and the caption states being built. The stable remained. In 1916, the stable had been replaced by a two-story auto building with a small shed to the south. And in 1953, a one-story auto building replaced the small shed. In 1966, Sanborn map shows that the rear of the site was vacant with all buildings having been demolished. On May 25th, 2023, the mayor and aldermen adopted an amended section 8.7 of the accessory structures and uses of the zoning ordinance. The applicant submitted their HPC application on June 7th, 2023. On July 26, 2023, the applicant received a certificate of appropriateness from the Historic Preservation Commission. Approval for the new construction, parts one and two, for a two-story garage, two-story carriage house at the rear of the property with variance recommendations. The ground floor is a three-car garage, while the upstairs is an accessory dwelling. So if you see here, you'll enter, there'll be a three-car garage. There will be gates to each side, and then there's an interior staircase that will bring you to the upstairs accessory dwelling unit. The applicant is now seeking variances to construct the proposed two-story carriage house. The first variance request is to allow for an accessory dwelling unit to exceed 700 square feet. Section 8.7.4D in the ADU ordinance states the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling or not to exceed 700 square feet. They meet the 40% by 34.9%. However, they are exceeding the 700 square feet. The second variance item is to allow the proposed accessory building to exceed 15 feet in height per section 8.7.4 HIII states any portion of an accessory dwelling unit over 15 feet in height shall be located at least 15 feet from a rear property line that does not abut a lane. The proposed accessory dwelling unit would be 25 feet in height and located within the subject property's rear yard. There is no lane that abuts this property. The rear yard faces Howard Street. The properties facing Whitaker Street have rear yards that are facing Howard Street. So this is their rear yard. This would be Howard Street facing it. And then this is Howard Street for these properties that face Whitaker Street. This is the floor level two floor plan for the accessory dwelling unit. So an interior staircase, living room, kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, and closets and accessories. And then this will be when you enter, when you exit the rear of the principal dwelling unit, you will see this carriage house. And then facing how, these are the side elevations. And then when you're on Howard Street, you will see this, the rear elevation of the carriage house. This is another side elevation. Going over the variance criteria, The proposed accessory dwelling unit is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. However, the proposed design is not consistent with the accessory structures and uses provisions of the zoning ordinance. The proposed design does not meet the requirements of Section 8.7.4. There are no special conditions and or circumstances that exist on the property which are peculiar and are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same TN1 zoning district. Arguably, the newly adopted ADU provisions of the zoning ordinance are inconsistent with historic development patterns and previous development standards. The present petition is the result of the actions of the applicant. The applicant applied with architectural plans for new construction for a three-car garage and a second-floor accessory dwelling unit with variances required. The literal interpretation of the regulations could have effect of producing undue hardship for the petitioner. The request is arguably consistent with the historic pattern of development in the area and consistent with the intent of the preservation standards applicable to this property. Should the board choose to approve the request, it is unlikely to be injurious to the neighborhood character. I'm going to provide my staff recommendation, which is based on the development standards of Section 8.7.4, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variances to ADU square footage and height. However, should the board choose to approve the requested variances, they are unlikely to be injurious to the neighborhood character as they are consistent with the historic pattern of development.
Mrs. Leto, the accessory dwelling units to either side of this property, if they were built today, would they fit the ordinance as it's written, or would they also require a variance?
They would require variances as well.
Okay, and the the height of the proposed accessory dwelling unit, is it still below the height of the main structure?
Yes, it is.
Any other questions for staff?
I just wanted to mention that there was 12 letters of support.
Thank you.
Oh, and
so Mrs. Jarrett has a question for you.
Okay.
And the height of the accessory structure proposed is
25 feet.
And the other accessory structures on Howard Street are at that height or lower? I mean, or higher?
They're higher, mm-hmm. as the architect is stating.
I have one other question for you, and I suspect Mr. Steele could answer this if you don't know, but what is the spirit behind the height requirement and the connection with the setback requirement? What's the thought on that?
That's a good question. I think it's more based on the rule or more of like a subdivision type locations like the RSF zoning districts and things like that, where you have a larger rear yard setback. And so you can meet that 15 feet.
So it's more based on visual compatibility or sight line?
Sorry, Edward Morrow, MPC Development Services staff. I just wanted to add, I think there may be a privacy concern there with regard to sort of preserving visual access. So if you have one of these, sorry, I said that the wrong way, not visual access, but in essence, limiting the ability to look over, right? So if you have a street and you have another accessory dwelling unit that's right up on the edge, potentially you could be creating a situation where people are able to look into, you know, other people's homes in essence, because you would be right next to the property line, and the property lines in this area actually tend to be fairly close. So there may be a privacy concern there. Nonetheless, it is still consistent with the development pattern in the area with all of the surrounding historic homes.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff?
I would like to have Leah speak about the HPC approval.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Leah Mahalik, Director of Historic Preservation at the MPC. Good to see you, everybody. I do want to express that the HPC did recommend approval to you all for this project, for the ordinances, I mean, for the variances. Their recommendation is based on the historic development pattern of the area and that this building is consistent, this proposed building is consistent with the historic development pattern. I do think the new ADU ordinance could use some tweaking. I think this is the first time it's really being vetted. It may need some tweaking, at least in the historic district areas to be more consistent with the development pattern there.
Any questions for staff? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Would the petitioner like to come forward, please? State your name for the record.
Let me find your application, additional information.
Yeah.
Justin.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Christian Sotil, and I am the architect of this new carriage house, and I appreciate your time this morning. I'm joined today by Jennifer Shearer, who is the owner of this historic property in the Victorian District. And it is a unique property as it has frontages on two streets, Whitaker Street and Howard Street. It does not have a lane, nor an internal property line. So it is a unique condition in the district. But I'd like to, first of all, thank the staff for their review. This is a bit of a complex issue, and I think a lot of it really based on the fact that there's a recently amended ordinance that hasn't been fully field tested. So we do respectfully request that these two variances be approved this morning. We are looking, we believe, at an inconsistency in a brand new ordinance. That is the only reason we're here this morning. The amended ADU ordinance was rightfully created to address adding units in more suburban neighborhoods and other new development throughout Savannah. However, this ordinance does not work in all ways in the historic core districts where there really was no issue. And residential density and building placement is already very much part of the historic pattern. There certainly is a well-established historic building pattern throughout the district, throughout the neighborhood, and in fact, actually on this very site. So the project is located on Howard Street. It adds an additional unit to a property that would otherwise be entitled to four units based on the parcel size, and there would be no limit to the size of those units. It's also a two-story building located on Howard Street, identically to every other building on the block. In fact, it's shorter than every other building on the block. So clearly, it appears there's a disconnect here between the reality of a 200-year-old part of our city and district and a two-month-old ordinance. So we are asking for relief from this inconsistency and from literal interpretation. The Historic Preservation Commission realized this immediately after reviewing the project and recommending approval. We then needed to go back to the Preservation Commission one more time due to this amended ordinance to seek their recommendation for the variances. And as the preservation staff reviewed the ordinance criteria, they recommended approval. The entire Historic Preservation Commission then further reviewed the project and the variances that were being requested and unanimously recommended that the ZBA approve those variances as a procedural matter. Residents in the neighborhood are all aware of the project. Some of them are scratching their heads a little bit as to why we're even here this morning. There's no one to my knowledge that's in opposition to the project, and I believe as staff mentioned, there have been a number, 12 letters of support for it. So I wanted to just show you a few visuals just to help clarify it and, you know, show you really the fact of the location and the form and the scale of this structure in the historic context. So the map that you see on screen here is a map of all the adjacent neighboring structures and the location of the approved structure. Let me see if I can zoom in. As you can see, every building on the block, so this is Howard Street here, every building on the block, and in fact, up and down Howard Street, is built up to Howard Street, and it comes to the rear property line. So to set the building back 15 feet would not be appropriate. In fact, we would not be able to have an approvable project if it were to be set back because it wouldn't be visually compatible. You can also see that in the map, the height of the contributing buildings along Howard Street. So you can see two-story, three-story. And I had several photos too, also to just illustrate the conditions there. These are the adjacent properties, a two-story residence on the street front on Howard Street, 909, 911, and 913. Two-story carriage house. This is next door at 906 Howard Street. And then actually a three-story residence just beyond that on Howard Street. This is the infill site for the two-story carriage house. Again, adjacent across the street, another two-story, two-unit residence fronts onto the street. This is the other next-door neighbor, a two-story carriage house on the street front at 916 Howard Street, which is literally adjacent to the property. And then, also in the Victorian District, just one block to the north, three-story residences that are on the street front. New carriage houses that have been built in the district recently, two-story carriage houses fronting the street in the adjacent block. So we've certainly studied the site and worked carefully with staff on applying the facts of the neighborhood in the design process. It appears that the hardship that this new ordinance imposes prohibits the common rights and the patterns that are appropriate for the site. In fact, staff research found that this site actually had two carriage houses on it, both built up to Howard Street. You can see that in some of the historic maps that the staff was mentioning earlier. So these were two buildings that were actually built to the corners of the property at Howard Street. Historically on the very site. As was mentioned, the Historic Preservation Commission staff did review the project in detail architecturally and for siting and for placement and unanimously recommended approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variances from these two standards because the variance criteria are met. Certainly, I could go on and go into further detail, but I would respectfully ask for you to rely on the literal interpretation as being unfair in this instance and to ask for your approval of these two common sense variances. And I think the language says literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant's rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district and result in an unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. So thank you again for your time and for your service to the community. And if I can answer any specific questions, of course, please let me know.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you so much, sir. Anyone that would like to speak concerning this petition, any member of the public, if you will, raise your hand. And if you're Mrs. Shear, come on.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Shearer. I'm the owner of that property. When I bought this house 4 years ago, it was a hot mess. And it took me basically 3 years to fix it. I knew I needed to put a carriage house in the back, but I needed to prioritize the main house to make sure that it wouldn't fall down. And so I started this process with Christian back in September of 2022. We worked on a design, talking with the neighbors, making sure everyone was cool with it. And for 95% of the time we worked on this project, it was appropriate and met all the rules. So for that 5% of the time that suddenly, Christian was working with HPC staff for 2 months prior to the ordinance being changed. Everyone was for it. It was working perfectly. And then he was asked to provide this middle. And unfortunately, it was submitted 7 days later after the city had changed the rules. I can't build a carriage house back there that meets these rules. It wouldn't be historically appropriate. I can't get it through HBC, and it would look silly if it was only 15 feet tall. I would lose the apartment above completely if I tried to do that. It would just be a set of garages that wouldn't make any sense. So again, for Christian, I would really appreciate if you give me these variances, because I think it's going to help the Howard Street look better. Certainly, you saw the pictures. My place looks silly compared to the other carriage houses on the street and the homes on the street. And so, respectfully, if please grant this request. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public like to speak? If you're online, if you use the raise your hand feature, we'll be glad to recognize you. Mr. Steele, I'm assuming you don't have anything to add to public comment. All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Condon? Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve both variances.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve both variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jarrett. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and both variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 74 Rio Road, 23-003613-2, or excuse me, -ZBA.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow, Development Services staff for the MPC. The present request, the petitioners, Clifton and Wendy Cooper, are requesting relief of 29.75 feet from the zoning ordinance requirement that front yard accessory structures that are on marsh adjoining properties be located at least 50 feet from the public right-of-way. The subject property is 0.63 acres in area, and it does adjoin marshland to the south and east. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to come down there. It adjoins marshland to the south and east. It is developed as a single-family home that was constructed in 1986 and has 2,488 square feet of heated floor area. Based on the plans that the petitioner has submitted, they intend to construct an open-air carport that's approximately 23.5 feet on either side and has a total area of 553 square feet. And as you can see in the photo that's on the screen currently, it is expected to cover an existing concrete pad. And that's a view looking down Rio Road. You can actually kind of see how far the proposed structure would be from the right-of-way. So it's this distance. That distance is approximately 37 feet and 11 inches. That would leave them deficient 29.75 feet from that 50-foot requirement. In looking at the zoning ordinance criteria in evaluating the request for a variance, with regard to consistency, while this request is unlikely to be injurious, it does exceed the ordinance prescribed limitation for front yard structures, as NUZO does actually anticipate that there would be front yard structures for those parcels that are adjoining the marshland. So it makes anticipation, but it's just a little bit in excess. With regard to special conditions, the subject property does arguably have a slightly smaller front yard, more shallow front yard than some others that are located nearby. With regard to literal interpretation of these provisions could possibly have the effect of depriving the applicant. While there are likely some viable design alternatives that remain, it appears that some previous design choices have put them in the position of making this particular request. Nonetheless, it is unlikely to be injurious. Finally, there is one other property along Rio Road, and actually it's on End Road at the very end, and it has a front yard accessory structure that appears to have 5 feet or less setback from the public right-of-way. Staff is unsure of the year at which that particular structure was built. Nonetheless, it does remain more or less consistent with the development pattern in the area. For that reason, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variance. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward? You will state your name for the record.
My name is Cliff Cooper. I'm the owner of the property. There is an existing concrete slab at the driveway, and that's what dictated the location that we chose for it. There is a tree line buffer on the setback side of it so that it's sort of segregated from the neighbors, and it is visually it's set back from the roadway. So and it's off from the side of the house, so it doesn't encroach on the side. It just is in the front right away. And like he mentioned, it's the existing driveway that set the location.
Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Anyone online? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
All the motions.
Well, I move that we accept the staff's approval.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to grant the variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jarrett. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 1402 East 49th Street,
23-003943. All right. This is a variance request proposing to construct a detached garage to be located within the rear yard setback and the street side yard setback. The proposed design would require the following variances. To allow for a reduction to the 5-foot setback to an accessory building to 0-foot setback, and to allow for a reduction of the side street yard setback from 10 feet to 2 feet. Let me open up the site visits for this to get a better idea. So this is the dwelling unit, principal dwelling unit facing 49th Street. Sorry, that's a typo. This is the corner side on Ash Street and 49th. And then currently there is an existing carport with an existing concrete pad. The applicant is wanting to demolish the carport, demolish the concrete pad, and add a new structure that would be a two-car garage and would have some storage for his outdoor equipment. So this is the site plan. So here's the dwelling unit facing 49th Street. This is 48th Lane. So it'd be a 0-foot side setback here. And then because it's a street side, they're supposed to have a 10-foot setback. Instead, there'll be a 2-foot setback. So the red here is the existing footprint of what they have right now with the carport and the concrete pad. That's an existing concrete pad. What they're going to do is demolish that and create a larger pad so that they will have more room for storage and a 2-car garage. And it'll be enclosed. And then they will have room for trash bins to the rear of the detached garage. And then they'll have more room for, the applicant has stated that they will have more room for their rear yard because of this location. Whereas if they were taking, if they were allowing a 5-foot setback and a 10-foot setback, the applicant states that their rear yard would be diminished. This is what it looks like on an aerial view existing. So there's the existing carport. And then I have the same photos here. The applicant provided a map, and I redid it, showing the accessory. The red squares are the existing accessory buildings that are on a zero lot line, and then the blue star is where the subject property is located and their accessory building. This is in the RSF 6 zoning district. They have a lot, property of 36,300 square feet in size. And there's a one-story brick house that is approximately 1,428 square feet and an existing concrete pad measuring 306 square feet with a carport over the concrete pad. The carport is an existing nonconformity with a 0-foot side yard setback against East 48th Lane and a 0-foot setback for the street side setback. Subject parcel is again located in RSF 6. The applicant is proposing, like I said, mentioned, demolishing the existing carport and concrete pad. And instead, they're constructing a 546 square foot concrete pad to place a detached interior garage for two vehicles and a storage room for outdoor equipment. Expanding would be expanding the nonconformity footprint by 240 square feet, and we'll be keeping the 0-foot side yard setback and the 2-foot street side yard setback, which is currently in place today. Based on the variance criteria, the requested variance is not consistent with the ordinance for accessory buildings. The required setback for an accessory building in the RSF 6 zoning district is 5 feet from the rear and side setbacks. The applicant is proposing an enclosed detached garage to have a 0-foot setback against a lane that is measured to 16 feet in width on a corner lot. There may be several accessory buildings that are built along the 0-foot setback line from East 48th Lane. However, this lane is a place where city garbage trucks go through and retrieve trash from residents' trash bins. There may be enough room for a garbage truck to turn into East 48th Lane from the subject property. The fact is, the subject property is located within the RSF 6 zoning district and should comply with the development standards therein. There is no hardship for the variance requests, and there is no reason why the applicant could not meet the development standards to the setbacks, as there is sufficient space to do so. There are no special conditions that exist. The property owner is demolishing the existing concrete pad and carport and has decided to place a newly constructed concrete pad with an enclosed detached garage within the same non-conforming setbacks as what is there presently. The applicant has chosen to demolish. Oh, I already mentioned that. Okay. And lastly, the literal interpretation of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties within the RSF 6 zoning district. There may be several accessory buildings along the subject block and adjacent blocks which have a 0-foot setback line to East 48th Lane. The majority may have appeared without a building permit or prior to NUZO. Any other accessory buildings with no setback line would have to go through the same variance process, such as the subject property's requests. Staff's recommendation, based on the variance criteria, staff recommends denial for the requested variances to allow for a reduction to the 5-foot setback to an accessory building to 0-foot setback, and to allow for a reduction to the side street yard setback from 10 feet to a 2-foot setback.
Mrs. Leto, the increase in the footprint from what's there to what they want to do all happens inside the yard.
Yes.
Everything else is going to be put back right where the existing structure is now, correct? You get a chance in a minute.
So this is the red area is what is existing right now mm-hmm. with the carport. And so they're demolishing that and then they're expanding it to the, and it's all in their rear yard.
Okay.
And the side yard.
Any other questions for staff? Mrs. Jarrett, you got something?
I was curious as to what the neighbors had, how the neighbors had responded or whether there has been any response from the neighborhood.
I have not received anything of support or anything of a concern.
Yeah. Biggest thing, I've lived in Parkside. Every other garage and everything else is built right up on the property line. And I've lived in the corner a lot. Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record.
Good morning, Nicholas Priswell, owner.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything?
Sure. I did. I think I submitted with the application. All the adjacent properties around me in Caddy Corner did sign a petition support. I think there was one house. She's an elderly lady, and I didn't want to get her out of bed to sign the petition, but she's across the street, not directly next to me. It's not exactly going back exactly where the structure is. I'm setting it back 2 feet further because of the incline of my yard. I'd like to prevent more runoff. If you look at my street, there's a lot of erosion off into that garbage lane, and I'd like to flatten out my driveway a little bit so that there's not so much erosion into that lane.
So then you'll be actually intruding into your yard further than what you are right now.
By 2 feet. That's why I'm trying to avoid the full setbacks, because I think if you it decreases my yard to less than 700 square feet because my house was set so far back when they built the all the other neighborhood houses are built very far forward, and mine is built at least 30 feet further back in my lot than most of my neighbors for some reason. So my backyard is very small for future children. My current dogs right now have very small green space, so I'm trying to avoid front yard, corner lot safety hazards there.
Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition, if you will, raise your hand. Are there any online? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
Move to approve applicant's request.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the request for variance.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is approved and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 1018 East Gwinnett Street, 23-004007.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my apologies, just one quick second. I want to try and get you a visual here. This is item number 9. Let's pull up a map first. Not a great picture. Just a heads up, there was no site plan submitted, and the structures on the property are condemned, so not a lot of great visuals here. But what you're seeing is the subject parcel up on the screen here, outlined in yellow. There's a condemned house right here. And as you can see, there's a tree here in the backyard where the existing condemned ADU is located. Just wanted to point that out before I go back to the report. So the petitioner, represented by Josh Yellen, is the owner or potential purchaser at 1018 East Gwinnett Street, where the subject property is being requested for reestablishment of an ADU, in essence. The zoning ordinance section 8.7.4B requires a minimum lot area of 125% of that required within the district in order to establish an accessory dwelling unit on the property. And the subject property, being 3,300 square feet, is conforming within the district. However, it is 450 square feet short to have an accessory dwelling unit by right. So the petitioner is here requesting, in essence, reestablishment of that use on the property. The parcel is developed as a 2,080 square foot single family home that was originally constructed in 1920. And it has a 600 square foot rear yard accessory dwelling unit that was constructed in 1930. Again, both of these structures are currently condemned. The subject property is not within a historic district. NUZO stipulates that any non-conforming accessory dwelling unit that is not in continuous use for 1 year shall lose its non-conforming status. And so this petition is before you today for reestablishment of the use because the accessory dwelling unit is no longer conforming and cannot be used. Again, no site plan was provided, and only request for relief from 8.7.4B has been requested, which leaves staff to presume that all other standards regarding accessory dwelling units set by 8.7.4B would be met on a forthcoming site plan. In evaluating the criteria for grant of a variance with regard to general consistency, the request is consistent with the intent of the ordinance, as this section explicitly states that the standard shall be variable. And the parcel previously contained an ADU, which demonstrates that having an accessory dwelling unit there is not injurious to neighborhood character. There are no special conditions relevant to this property. Under literal interpretation, the literal interpretation would not deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by other similarly situated properties, as the previous ADU was legal nonconforming and was allowed to lose that status. Nonetheless, the ZBA has been given the power to determine where reestablishment of this use is permissible beyond the ordinance's by right establishment. This is the minimum variance that is required. This variance is required to establish an ADU, though it is not required to make reasonable use of the subject property, as the future owner or builder could develop a single family home there. And under special privilege not granted, the variance, if granted, would not confer on the applicant any special privileges. MPC staff does recommend approval of the requested variance, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Jerry?
Is there any parking issue that we have?
Unfortunately, we did not receive a site plan, so this is a variance beforehand, but under a site plan review, the dwelling would be required to provide at least one off-street parking space. ADUs do not require additional parking.
Any other questions for staff? Great. Thank you very much. Mr. Yellen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. And if I may, I just have a photograph of what was once the building has actually since fallen down in the most recent storms about last month. As you can tell, it was in. But this building has since fallen down. Our applicant, Mr. Knowles, is a former building inspector from Atlanta who recently bought the property. He is trying to rehab it to the state that it used to be. However, when he started work on the rear parcel was when he was alerted by city staff that this was a non-conforming accessory dwelling unit and that he couldn't resurrect it without permission from this board to go ahead. To comment on what Mr. Morrow said, and we do thank him for the recommendation for approval, we do not have a current site plan. I cannot promise that we won't be back for future variances. This was just the first step in this process. We want to make sure that we could reinstate the ADU use. He may need to come back for a lot coverage variance, depending on the size of the ADU of his plans. We don't anticipate it currently, but if you see me again for this petition, it will be for the site plan issues. To address Ms. Jarrett's question, parking not currently provided on site. From my conversations with Mr. Knowles, his intent is to create a more modern accessory dwelling unit that will have garage parking with the unit above, as opposed to a 600 square foot kind of one-story shack in the back of the property. So he does want to address that. We think this was relatively straightforward. We have the option of either petitioning for a reinstatement of a non-conforming use, which would limit us to this building as we see here, or a variance to the lot coverage, to the lot size. And so we went with the lot size because it would allow us to go up and address that parking issue. And so we do respectfully request that you approve of this variance as recommended by staff.
Thank you, Ms. Gillen. Any questions for the petitioner? Great.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Any online? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mrs. Jones?
Yeah.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you, sir.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the application.
All right. Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the request for variance.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 104 Calm Oaks Circle, 23-003680.
All right, Mr. Chair and members of the board, Richard Kuzgard and Philip Bichere at 104 Calm Oaks Circle are petitioning this board for relief of 14 inches from a 20-foot rear yard setback requirement within the RSF6 residential single-family 6 zoning district for the purpose of constructing a screened-in porch. The subject property is 0.21 acres in area and is part of the Sweetwater Station subdivision. The Sweetwater HOA and Architectural Review Committee have provided documentation supporting the requested variance. The parcel is developed as a single-family home built in 2012, approximately 1,454 square feet. Based on the plans that are submitted, the petitioner intends to construct a screened-in porch extending east from the rear of the dwelling. And the porch is proposed to be about 13.5 feet by 16 feet wide, which totals 216 square feet in area. So common back porch screened in. Again, the RSF6 zoning district requires a rear setback of 20 feet. The structure would sit more or less on an existing concrete pad, and it appears that it would extend just a little bit further, and that would leave 18 feet 10 inches from the rear property line. So again, a request for relief of 14 inches. With regard to the variance criteria, this request, unfortunately, is inconsistent with the intent and purposes of the zoning ordinance, though unlikely to be injurious to neighborhood character. With regard to special conditions, there are no peculiar circumstances. There are feasible design alternatives that the petitioner could seek that would not require a variance. Literal interpretation of this section would not deprive the petitioner of the right to extend their home. Again, there are feasible design alternatives available that would not require a variance. Under minimum variance, there is no variance that's required to make reasonable use of the property as it's already developed. And finally, the variance if granted would not confer on the applicant any special privileges. MPC staff does recommend denial of the requested variance on the basis of the development standards. However, should the board choose to grant the variance, it's unlikely that it would have significant negative impact on neighborhood character, health, safety, or welfare of adjoining properties. That concludes staff review. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
They're asking for just a screen in the porch is what I'm understanding, the rear.
So in essence, they're going to, on the concrete pad that you see, they're going to sit, what I'm going to guess is almost a prefabricated. It's a structure that seems to kind of come, I think it's a construction issue. They're going to sit something on there that is a screened in porch, and it's going to encroach into that rear yard setback by 14 inches. Right now, actually, I should have measured the concrete pad. The concrete pad would not be counted against them for these purposes. So once they sit this structure on there that is a screened-in porch, it's going to encroach in a way that kind of triggered the need for this variance in order to allow them to construct this. But they'd like to place a porch here.
So ultimately, they're going to screen in the existing cement pad?
In essence, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you so much.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward? Is this the one where they're not able to be here?
I'm so sorry. I didn't have any conversation with the petitioner prior to or during the review.
Or is the petitioner present? No, I mean.
Richard Kuzgard, Philip Bisher.
He's online.
Okay. Mr. Kuzgard, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I would just like to, I mean, if somebody could, I covered this with Melissa, and there are definitely more pictures that would substantiate why we're asking for this. We don't want to have 14 inches of concrete sticking out from the back of this porch on the screen that you're seeing now. If you go back to some of the other pictures that we've included, it's nothing but green space behind there, and it would not impose or intrude on any other property as far as anybody behind us. It's nothing but a marsh area, and it's all woods. And so we would like to enclose the concrete that's already in place so that we don't have 14 inches of concrete just sticking out for no reason.
Okay.
There are other pictures that would show a better perspective of what's behind us so that you would understand that this is not imposing on any other property or anything else. You can see back on that, on the right side of that picture, that's all a woods area. There is definitely another picture that gave a better perspective that was straight on of the fence. And also the zoning from SAGAS website that shows that that is nothing but an agricultural property, and that property piece that's right behind our fence is also a green space area that the HOA board owns. They don't care. There's also a letter of support from our HOA president that says that this would not be a problem with their subdivision rules. We're talking 14 inches. So I don't know why this would be impeding on anybody else's rights or their property.
Just to be clear, what the existing concrete slab is already 14 inches into that setback area, correct?
That's the way that measured, correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's not an issue until they want to put a structure on it.
Right.
Right.
And if we go with what the gentleman just stated, who I have not talked to, I've been dealing with Melissa on this, so I'm not sure who he is, but if we go with the porch and deal with, you know, a smaller structure, we're going to have 14 inches of concrete just sticking out. So, of course, ideally, we would like to enclose that.
Mr. Kuzgard, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just that we would please, you know, request for approval for this because there's no other impediment that is behind us. There's no structures. It's not anybody's personal property. It's all green space.
Any questions for the petitioner? Mrs. Jones, you got something?
No more than because it's all of his property, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am.
You got anything, Mr. Condon?
Uh-uh.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? As we go into board discussion, I'd just like to say the man's asking for 14 inches behind this fence. I don't see where there's any real issue here. Yeah, and good God, if he got their approval. Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to say anything? Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Conan, you got anything? Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say before you vote?
Nope, just yes.
Yes, okay. Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear petition for 5 Sherborne Lane, 23-003946.
Hello, my name is Anna McQuarrie. I'm a new planner here at the MPC. And I prepared the, I'm sorry.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. I prepared the staff report for 5 Sherborne Lane. Petitioners are William and Donna Knight. So the applicant is requesting a variance of the county, the city marsh buffer requirement of up to a maximum of 10 feet at various places along the buffer's length for construction of a house with the limitation that the total area of encroachment will not exceed 50% of the total area of that same buffer. The subject parcel is a total of 0.58 acres and located in RSF-10 zoning district. During this report, we're going to be talking a lot about wetlands and marshes. So I just quickly wanted to say the difference so we're all on the same page. So the wetland is a low-lying land saturated with water, either permanently or seasonally. It has hydraulic soils and aquatic vegetation, and it's a transition zone between land and water. So you can see here this more brown area on the map would be considered the wetland. And then a marsh, which is a specific type of wetland, is dominated by herbaceous plants, grasses, shrubs, rushes, sedges, and it grows along the edges of the transition zone to drier land. So you can see here that this would be considered marsh, where you start to get into like the more green area. So that's just going to be important later on in the presentation. All right. So this parcel is, again, 0.58 acres and backs up to wetlands and marshes. And so the zoning code requires the following, that marsh buffers are minimum of 35 feet and required along all marsh. As required by the OCGA 1271, the Georgia Erosion and Sedimentation Control Act, the state buffer is 25 feet and shall be measured from the Department of Natural Resources jurisdictional marsh line, as established by the Coastal Resources Division in accordance with the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act of 1970. The remaining 10 feet is a local buffer and measured from the state buffer in accordance with OCGA 1271, Georgia Erosion and Sedimentation Control Act. So right now the applicant is requesting relief from the local buffer up to the additional 10 feet from that required 25-foot state buffer to make the property more attractive to potential buyers. The lot was originally purchased in 1991 and listed for sale in 2019. There's currently no development on the parcel, and the applicants are requesting a variance with the justification of special conditions, general consistency, and hardship. Just so we're all aware, the applicant is not requesting to develop anything on the land, but they're doing this as an incentive for a future buyer. So any site plan that you see are just a concept plan. Again, the applicant is hoping to sell the property and that this variance would make the property more attractive. So the 25-foot buffer area is 0.19. 5 acres, and the 35-foot buffer adds an additional 0.07 acres for a total marsh buffer area of 0.265 acres, which we can see here. So this blue line is the wetlands. This teal is going to be the 25-foot marsh buffer, which is the state required, and then the red is the 35-foot local buffer. So you can see the parcel here. It has kind of an odd shape to it. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac. Just to note, You have a few other properties that go into that local buffer, but they were all built in the early 90s before that local buffer was established. And this marsh is established by the Conservation Marsh District, and any actual distances would need to be surveyed for more precise delineation. So our findings, so general consistency, this is not consistent with the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. The variance seeks to allow development within the local marsh buffer, which is intended to prevent or minimize possible damage from activities that may degrade, destroy, or otherwise negatively impact the value and function of wetlands and marshes. Wetland and marsh buffers are required. All right, and so there are some relevant natural resource goals from the comprehensive plan, which is to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of residents from flood hazards, implement plans, policies, and property protection to reduce potential damages from climate change, improve the ability of our community to adapt to changing natural and built environments, and then manage the impacts of climate change as it relates to land use and development through mitigation and adaptation measures. So without knowing a site plan, this is really difficult to evaluate. And so with just giving a variance, there could be different development that is not consistent, which again, it could be dangerous to the actual new buyer or property owner once sold. So while variances have been given the local buffer, again, this is difficult to see if it is consistent with the ordinance or the comprehensive plan. Further, this wetland variance could be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, and welfare when considering flooding risk and sea level rise. So Sherbourne is right here. And so using an intermediate scenario of sea level rise for 2040, you'll see some inundation right up to the property. So if you're thinking about flooding risk, public safety, any future property owner would have to deal with this. By 2050, we're expected to see 79 high tide flooding days, and that's just high tide flooding days per year. Special conditions. So applicant stated the marsh buffer has an exaggerated effect on the unusually shaped lot. However, the applicant purchased this property knowing the shape and proximity to the marsh. The parcel shape has not changed, and there are 228 square miles of wetlands in Chatham County via the plan 2040. So this is not necessarily a unique hardship to this one parcel. Many residents in the city and county must deal with wetland and marsh buffers. As demonstrated here from the comprehensive plan, this is a map of wetlands in the county. These are not, these special conditions are not necessarily the fault of the applicant. However, this buffer was put in place to protect both the marsh and property owners. This application is purely financial in nature in order for the applicant to be able to sell the property at a higher value. Right now, the applicant has demonstrated that their property has not been sold since, 2019. Other similar lots have been sold at higher prices. Their price has dropped for the property. However, again, they are not proposing to build anything. It is simply to sell the property. This was a concept plan created by the applicant. And so it shows a structure on the lot with the state buffer, local buffer, and it shows how a property that a potential buyer might want to buy or might want to build on this lot would fit. And so, while this is one concept plan, I think it's reasonable to be able to hire a construction manager, architect, to be able to fit something within the existing lot size. You just may not be able to build something as big as you want, which would probably protect you in the long run. All right. So the literal interpretations of regulations would deprive the applicant, again, of some material rights, such as a higher property value and a larger development. However, this does border a conservation marsh district, and it shares more properties, at least as a landscape, with that conservation marsh district. So it's really important. So as you can see here, these are the flood zones. that we really respect the marsh and wetlands. So this property specifically is in the 100-year flood zone and the 500-year. So it's going to be very subject to flooding, and that marsh buffer will protect future property owners. Most of the other district is outside of the 500-year flood zone, as demonstrated by that light green. It's unknown if this variance, if granted, is the minimum needed, because, again, we don't have a site plan. And then special privileges, this would not confer special privileges. If granted, this would confer special privileges that are denied to similar properties within the same zoning district, because we need to respect that buffer. So our recommendation is for a denial of a local marsh buffer of up to the full 10 feet. If anything, we, you know, recommended going for a side or front yard variance to not intrude into those wetlands. That advice was ignored. And then also, if you were to approve any sort of variance into the marsh, we recommend that the applicant work with the city manager or staff for a modified wetland or marsh buffer, where essentially the buffer would average out to a total of 35 feet, but you would get some give and take in different areas. But that would really primarily be recommended for someone that's going to build on the property. Thank you.
Got a question for you. And I ought to know this as long as I've been on CBA, but is there an expiration date on the decisions of this board?
1 year.
1 year. Just like COAs and different things. And then they can be, they have to be reapplied for. Okay. Are there any other questions for staff?
The letter of,
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. So, we had two letters. One was delivered this morning by the applicant, by neighbors, who are at 8 Sherbourne Lane, that says, we do not wish to challenge the request for the variance and specifically have no objection or concern. The proposed variance does not have any impact on our view of the marsh or the use of our property. And I believe there was one more as well. A letter of opposition from a neighbor.
Click on the upper left.
Let's see.
Click on where it says the button. Okay.
Sorry. No.
I know we've had this issue before.
Wait, download it.
It might not even sell. Yeah, no, I think at the end we should push off and work with these guys, because I'm going to say, we say no to people, you can't do it right here. So, you know, sit down with those guys and try and negotiate it with the, you know, the NPC. So, you
know, all right, so we have a printed version. Where Mr. Donald Anderson, who lives at 12923 Silwood Drive and has a vacant lot next to the 5 Sherbourne Lane. He is an elderly gentleman and cannot attend the meeting. He wanted to talk He wanted to talk to Edward Moore regarding the request. So Mr. Morrow spoke with this person directly on the phone, who voiced their opposition.
Any questions for staff? Any further questions? All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
My name is William Knight, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and speak to you. I guess the easiest way for me to start was to clarify a couple things from Anna's report. The site plan that she referred to as the prospective or the concept plan, it was not a concept plan. It was an actual plan laid out by a surveyor of a that actually somebody put in a contract on the property. They had somebody try to put that. That was the plan they wanted to put. And it showed how the corners of the house went into the, well, one corner went into the, can we get back to that? Yeah, if you see on the lower right part of the house, that one actually goes into the 25-foot buffer. And it's important to know that I'm not asking to go into the state buffer. You know, the Anna's pointed out that the marsh buffer is important to protect the marsh. You know, we all believe that the marsh needs to be protected. But I have not read anything. Oh, I'm sorry. I have not read anything where the city or the county has demonstrated that 35 foot of buffer does a better job than 25 foot of buffer. You know, it may, but just keep things in perspective. So, on this particular house, that section that goes into the 25 foot buffer, the architect could have probably twisted the garage and made it fit. But the point is just that the corners of a typical house, if you allow them to go into that 10 foot, it gives you, it affects the size of the house a good bit. And like I said, we've actually had two contracts put in on the property, and both times during their due diligence, they found that the house plans, they didn't have a house plan that would fit. And the, backwards. Okay. Okay.
Mouse.
Yeah,
okay. There's a mouse there.
All
right.
Okay. In this one, I realized that I didn't actually take the final step and do the math. That this showing that our asking price is at approximately 80% of what two other comparable in the actual neighborhood have sold for. And I believe they were both during the time we had ours up for sale. So, and then that actually amounts to, that actually amounts to $57,000 that we're under. You know, we've actually, our asking price is $57,000 below comparable dollars per acre that the other two lots sold for. So it's not a subjective thing. The other thing to make sure you understand is in one of Anna's presentations where she showed the encroachment. Oops, that's not it. She drew in the two buffer lines relative to the property line, not the jurisdictional line. On my application,
Miss Anna, can you help him with this, please?
Which is the actual application?
The actual application. The explanation, or you want the?
No, I want the actual application.
Attached here, well, at the moment.
I believe Mr. Knight is looking, it's probably in your presentation, looking for that map that you did that shows the various.
Well,
different,
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I can point it out here.
Okay.
This, you can see this is the, she drew a 35 foot, that's the 25 foot state buffer. She drew it relative to the, this is the actual
lot line.
These are the tie lines for the lot line. The actual property lines are actually inside that a little bit. And that's why I wanted to show my, it actually goes further in. Let's see.
I think I know.
I guess you can actually see it on that same concept plan. That one. On this one, this is the line. When she drew in her line, she drew it relative to this line. And this faint line that you see here mm-hmm. is actually the survey jurisdictional line. This one. And she drew it. This is the property line or the tie lines. This is the actual survey jurisdictional line, the DNR marked surveyor put. So you can, so it actually goes in further than, and so her calculations actually overstate the buildable. It's actually smaller. It's probably actually close to, when you include the other setbacks, it's probably down to like 0.2 acres out of the 0.58 lot size. She did show the, in her presentation, the lot, which is the house, which is built, it was immediately adjacent to us. It actually, the corner of that house is actually in that additional 10 foot buffer. Mm-hmm. And so it is, we're asking for the same rights that we're, you know, that house was given to. This house is, she made references to protection from flooding by not allowing this. I don't understand how she, you know, one of the maps in hers showed the flood zone. I'm not sure how, whether you, that corner of a house goes into this buffer, it's going to affect the impact of the neighborhood on flooding, how that would
protect. I can explain that.
On your house. It's the impact on your house.
Right. Well, I'm not asking for it. There's somewhere in here, there's a flood zone related construction line. Now, I'm not asking for variance in regard to that. That would be applied when somebody applies for their building permit. She also made a point that it's difficult to evaluate it, that there may be, could lead to destruction of a resource by going into this buffer. And that it's difficult without having seen the actual proposed house plan, whether that's going to happen or not. In reviewing other cases where, people have applied for variance into the county's 10-foot buffer, I see that this board has on multiple occasions granted a blanket 5 foot into it, you know, along the whole length. I'm only asking,
actually, I've not been on it either.
Must be. This is the city board. This isn't the county board. I've been here.
So this is the city.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just misspoke. But the, see, where was I going with that? I'm not asking for a 10 foot along the whole line of the buffer here. I'm just asking that at various unknown points of this thing, just allow a house that will, the corners, nobody else think is going to likely to build a house that'll follow the contour of this line. That would be silly. Nobody's going to do that. But it is reasonable that somebody would build a house that would allow them to be a little bit bigger to go in there. It's the same. When the subdivision was made, this additional 10-foot buffer was not into effect. And when the architects or the engineers lay out a subdivision, they design it with the intent of a reasonable house being able to fit on. And a 10-foot, this is 35 feet right here, just to give you a relative size. So that's 10-foot is a pretty good significant percentage of that width there. When we had shortly in 2012, soon after we bought the property, we actually had gotten to the point we had a house that was laid out and it fit. And it was, you know, 2,800 square foot house, a nice size house would fit. This house, I believe, is probably in 2,500 square foot. It's not unusually large for that neighborhood. So we're not asking, you know, she pointed out we could build a smaller house. Well, it's
you could build a larger house. You could build a larger house. You could take that house and wrap it around the back of that marshland and have outstanding views of the marsh and the wetlands.
Right. And that was our original concept. But for most house plans, that would put the house facing the side yard of the adjacent property.
Mr. Knight,
yeah.
may I offer a suggestion, sir? I think that staff is willing to work with you to come up with something that would work for your particular application.
Okay.
The problem is this. If you do not prevail today, for 1 year, you may not appear before us again, which means that a potential buyer may not appear before us again. So my suggestion to you would be this, if you want to take it. I would postpone today, ask for a continuance, and then meet with staff and work with them on some suggestions that Ms. Anna offered during her presentation as to ways that this could work better for you. Because I think you'd be disappointed at what's going to happen otherwise.
Hi. Can I ask for clarification then? In your conclusion, you made reference to the modified wetlands.
So in the recommendations, if it's approved, I think we should work with the city manager's office, as the zoning ordinance says, to get a potential permit. However, without a building plan, that may be difficult. Other recommendations are to request a front yard variance. Right now, mm-hmm. the front yard, here I have the setback. So for this district, the front yard is 25 feet. The side interior yard is 7. The side street yard is 15. And so a 25-foot setback from the front of this property may be more amenable to a change on that and be able to have a presentation. I mean, I realize the lot size is odd here. And that may be why you may not want to pursue it, but this is ultimately your decision.
But as far as the, if I modify yeah. my request, okay, I understood you to say that I just learned of that process. You know, I several weeks ago before I submitted the application, I did come in, spoke to Mr. Moore, Ms. McCorry. And at that time, they did not mention the modified wetlands permit. And that makes sense to me.
The other option is to go to an architect and have them design a house that fits that lot. When you bought that lot, you knew it was an odd shape. You have all of these potential viewscapes that you could incorporate. And if you got an architect to do a footprint showing how to fit the house on that lot, I think that your buyers might be much more willing to spend the money.
I've actually had two buyers. This particular buyer spent, I think, over $3,000 getting to this point. And it took, it was over 60 days.
Mr. Knight, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up pretty please.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two more minutes to finish your presentation, and then we're going to have to move on.
When I was trying to ask for clarification about the modified permit, is that an alternate path to coming here, or does it? When I talked to her on the phone
suggesting to you was that you postpone, that you withdraw your application today for us, and postpone. Ask for a continuance, we will grant it to you, and then you can meet with MPC and come up with another plan.
Okay.
Is that a viable alternative for MPC for staff? Okay.
I'd like to withdraw then.
Okay.
Ask for a continuance.
Ask for a continuance. I make a motion that we continue this application.
All right. Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this application, and I'm assuming that that means indefinitely until such time as the petitioner would like to come back and appear before us.
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on that before we vote? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
No.
No. Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
I was not here for the entire discussion, so.
He's an abstain. And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes, and this petition is continued indefinitely until such time as the petitioner would like to come back. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 216 East Bolton, 23-003957.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the present request is for relief from the rear setback requirement established within the TN1 zoning district. The petitioner is requesting 6 feet 6 inches of relief from the 30-foot rear yard setback for the purpose of constructing a new code-compliant rear egress stair, as well as an outdoor living space. The new stair would replace a deteriorating non-compliant stair that also currently encroaches into the rear setback. The subject property contains a two-family dwelling in the over-under configuration that was originally constructed in 1897. One dwelling unit is on the first floor, and a second one is located on the second and third floors of the structure. The subject property is a conforming lot within the TN1 zoning district. However, its rear egress stair, which I understand to be a metal staircase, currently encroaches into the rear setback, leaving a rear setback of 26 feet and 2 inches, where 30 feet is currently required. The current request would allow the increase of this encroachment from 3 feet 10 inches to 6 feet 6 inches. So there's a slight increase. Subject property is a contributing structure within the Victorian Historic Overlay District. And per the petitioner, the proposed stair would be constructed of wood, which is more consistent with the design aesthetic of this particular historic district. This petition was heard by the City of Savannah Historic Preservation Commission yesterday, and it was given an approval of its COA request. And also a recommendation of approval to this board for this request for a grant of approval of this additional encroachment. In reviewing the variance criteria, staff found that the request is somewhat consistent in that it would allow this historic structure to be brought into code compliance. And though the encroachment could likely be reduced through reduction or elimination of the proposed outdoor living space, the variance is unlikely to be injurious to public health, safety, or welfare. And again, City of Savannah Historic Preservation Commission has determined that the proposed addition was consistent with the Victorian Historic District design standards. Under special conditions, the home on the subject property is a historic structure that was built in 1897, which is very much prior to contemporary life safety requirements. And so, again, the condition is common to many of the homes within these particular historic overlay districts within the city. Many would be expected to require similar variances to bring them into code compliance. The requested variance, however, is not the minimum variance that is likely required in order to bring the proposed addition. It's not the minimum variance required that would be required to bring the home into code compliance due to this addition of a new outdoor living space, which is not currently present on the home. Literal interpretation could have the effect of producing some degree of unnecessary hardship for the petitioner. Again, a reasonable design alternative is likely available were the requested outdoor living space reduced or eliminated. I'm actually going to scroll on down just so you can actually see here. Special privilege, however, would not be granted if the variance were to be approved. Simply in the interest of promoting health, safety, and welfare, MPC staff does recommend approval of the requested variance. Though again, we would ask of the applicant whether or not the outdoor living space could be reduced so as to reduce the requested encroachment. That concludes staff review. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Yeah. Thanks very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning. I'm Joseph Willett, petitioner for 216 East Bolton Street.
Morning. You have anything you'd like to say?
No, I agree with the staff's recommendation. Do you have any questions?
Any questions for the petitioner? Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Are any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online? Okay. Mrs. Jones, would you like to say anything?
No.
Mrs. Jerry?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation and approve variance.
Second.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Mrs. Jarrett has seconded that motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the request for variance is approved. All right, last but not least. This is for 4306 Heard Street, 23-003615.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the petitioner, Ms. Philippa Davis, who lives at 4306 Heard Street, after ongoing and escalating differences with an adjoining neighbor, she erected fences on her property that now require variances granted by this board to bring those fences into conformance with the zoning ordinance. Specifically, she is requesting variances to requirements of Section 9.6.4 regarding fences, which would limit interior fences between homes to 4 feet in height. And another stipulation which requires that front yard fences not exceed a height of 6 feet for residential uses. Subject parcel is developed as a single family home built in 2006. The adjoining parcel to the north is under common ownership but vacant, and the petitioner's property measures 8,000 square feet in total. In 2003, at some point between February and the current date, she chose to erect fences that completely encircle her property. On the areas that adjoin the public right-of-way, there is an iron-style fence that was selected for use, which you can see you are able to see completely from the right-of-way through to the house. However, on the interior, there is – oh, I'm sorry. The iron-style fence has some gates that actually exceed the 6 foot height requirement right here. And so also on this interior lot line that she shares with this adjoining neighbor, she used a wooden picket fence, which is completely opaque. It cannot be seen through, which is 6 feet in height, where 4 feet is the maximum height that is permissible in this district. In reviewing the criteria, there were no, the request is consistent, though the requests do exceed the ordinance stipulations for fence heights. There are no special circumstances. Literal interpretation likely would not have the effect of depriving her of the rights enjoyed by other property owners. However, it would bring her a greater degree of personal safety living in her home, which I believe these fences were erected out of a perceived need for safety and reducing foot traffic, undesirable foot traffic that was happening on her property. So even if this variance were denied, she would still be permitted to have fences, although they would be required to be somewhat lower, which also there was an express concern regarding some visual blight, which I believe is why she chose the opaque fence on the interior property line. These fences are the minimum that are required in her view to resolve these needs. However, they are not required to make use of the subject property. Special privilege would not be granted if these variances were approved. MPC staff recommends approval of these requested variances. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Morrow, the iron fence that we see on the screen, is other than the gates that exceed, is it within the allowable height?
To my knowledge, it is.
Okay, so it's just the fences between the properties that
the arches
exceed by 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions for staff?
The arches?
Right. There, on the front fence here, there are some arches that exceed. But this interior fence right here that's wooden is allowed to be 4 feet high, and it's currently 6.
Okay. And that's for safety?
That is how it was reported to staff, that these fences were erected in the interest of personal safety. The petitioner also submitted several still shots from videos where people had approached her property, they'd come on her property over the course of several years. In reviewing what I could from imagery that was online, I could see that the fences did not exist for many years. They were not there. And again, at some point between February of this year and the present date, they were put up. I guess out of kind of this ongoing back and forth, eventually she decided that this is what was necessary.
Any other questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Philippia Davis.
Good morning.
So I'm requesting to keep my privacy fence at 6 feet to block the view of my neighbor's yard of collective items and to keep her workers off my property. The fence gives me a sense of security. I have brought up the subject of an abundance of roaches coming over from that side of my house with code inspector and the pest control tech that I had to hire. Also found that the roaches were on the neighboring side of my house. I've confronted her workers about being on my property, and I feel like I shouldn't have to live like that in my own home. While we don't live in an HOA community, just to jump off the subject, there should be something in place to prevent Sanford and Son living conditions around my home. As an Army veteran, I just want to live in a clean and peaceful community.
Thank you. Let me ask you, did you know about the height ordinance whenever you built the fence?
I did not. I hired a company, and that's why I did it, because, you know, I figured they would know what I can and can't do. I also I've had two surveys done for both fences that I have put up so I can know where to place the fence.
Okay. Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak?
My name is Rufus Spartley, and I have property right in the back of her property. And I hadn't had time to go out and observe it, but it seemed like she may have me fence off, so I don't have access to my property. It seemed like if she put a fence up around her borderlands, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't have an easement probably to get back and do anything or annoy anyone else. And it's going to make it harder for me to sell the property. So I may have to file a petition or something also maybe to do something else. But if this fence is up around her borderlands to my properties right here. If she got a fence up here, it's going to prevent easement to anybody to get to it, and it's going to make it difficult to sell.
Okay. I'm so sorry. So he's referring to property that is back here. There's, as you see, an unopened street here. So this is a public right-of-way.
that is not developed, but it's also not paved. So he has right-of-way access. What he's saying is that he doesn't have access across the petitioner's property.
But before the fence was built, you were accessing your property through her property?
I haven't been to the property in a while. But like, you know, I'm just talking about borderlands and access to my property. You know, look like she may have a fence out there, but like,
Yeah, I would say that we're here to consider a variance for the height of the fence, not necessarily whether or not she has a right to build
the
fence.
I may have to file something else.
Yeah, I think maybe somewhere else.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anyone else like to speak? Ma'am in the blue shirt, you come first, please.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Linda Cornelius, and I reside at 4305 Heard, which is directly across the street. And on Ms. Davis' behalf, I have no problems with her fence. In fact, I'm concerned with her safety as well. As noted, there are a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of young people who walk to go to the park. The young kids can't even go to the park. So I understand her need for privacy. I'm a private person as well. So I have no problems whatsoever with her fence. And I will be happy if you guys grant approval for the variance. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ma'am, do you come forward, please?
My name is Vernell Cuyazzo, and I came today because I'm the neighbor on the other side. I have no roaches, no rats, nothing of the kind. We live in an area with a whole bunch of wood, a wooded area right behind our house, behind her house and mine. So if she has a problem with roaches, I mean, I have no problem with roaches or anything like that. The only problem I have with the fence, I don't care about the iron fence that she have up there. The problem is we do have a lot of problems with the young men walking down the ditch bank on the other side of her fence. But on my side of the fence, the only problem that she's saying, I had some people come into my house to do some work on my house. I didn't know whether they walked through her, you know, through her property or not. When I was told that she came out and told the people about walking on her property, I don't even have that much people over to my house. There shouldn't be a problem with her safety on my side. But she built all the way around the her yard. I have no problem with the pretty fence, the iron fence, but for her to put up a wooden fence that blocks off all the way out to the street. I used to be able to sit on my porch and look down into the cul-de-sac. Little young people go down into the cul-de-sac and be sitting in the cul-de-sac. And as far as our safety, yes, that part, yes. But over to my side, for her to have up a fence that high, we had a problem ever since she came and moved in next door. I've lived there for 27 years. She came up and she said that my fence was on her property. She had a surveyor to come in. When the surveyor came in, he told her that my fence was not on her property. She got angry with the surveyor and she told the surveyor that she hired him and he's going against her. So after that, we hadn't had any problems. She started bringing her trash can through my yard. When she started bringing her trash can through my yard, I explained to her that it was starting to make ruts into my yard. And after I told her that, I asked her to please not to bring her trash can because it started debris coming in my yard and stuff. So then I asked her not to bring it back through there again. I looked out another day. She was bringing her trash can through my yard again. So I decided that I was going to put up a chain link fence, you know, between our yards. She came over to my house begging and pleading and crying, telling me that we're neighbors, and for me to put up a fence, that, you know, us being neighbors, we shouldn't have a fence between us. So I didn't put the fence up because we were neighbors. We had no problem. I've been not having any problems with the people in the neighborhood or her as far as anything else, you know, but I didn't know if somebody walked across her property, you know, when they was out there working on the plumbing in my yard. And the guy did come and tell me that she came and told them off about walking on her property. But about 2-3 weeks ago, she had a big truck. My car was parked on the driveway. She had a big truck parked in the front of my driveway. I couldn't even pull my car out. I mean, I'm the ones having problems with her and her and the things that she's doing. So this was the reason I came here today. And I don't feel that I can see down into the cul-de-sac now because the little guys come and even she can attest to that. They come and sit in the cul-de-sac and we don't know whether it's drugs. It is drugs around in the neighborhood. So I used to be able to see it, and I called the police and stuff like that when I see these things. So now I can't even see into the cul-de-sac anymore. So, I mean, this is the reason that I came today.
Thank you very much. Mr. Morrow.
Sir.
Am I correct in that by right she could have a 4-foot fence? But not a 6-foot fence.
That is correct.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak other than the ones that have already spoken? Is anyone online?
There was a person named Ramsey Flame. He was raising his hand until now, but right now it's not there.
Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond? Oh, do you have anything else? Yeah.
She didn't talk to me about the fence, and the fence is on the line. Well, I'm thinking it's on my property, but if it's on the line, I tried to speak to her. I called her on the phone before she put the fence up. They were getting ready to put the fence up, so I called her on the phone to try to talk to her about the fence, but she wouldn't talk to me. So when the man was putting the fence up, I came out. And I didn't want to go on her property because I didn't want to cause no problem. When the man was putting the fence up, I asked him, you know, about the fence. He told me I had no rights at all as far as that fence was concerned. He was working for her and he was going to put the fence up no matter what. I knew that they couldn't put a fence up that high. That's one of the reasons I was trying to speak to her. Because before she put the fence up, I didn't want her to put it up and then have to end up taking it down.
Okay. Thank you. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comments? Okay. Then in that case, we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not really. because I know when they build fences, because I've been, you know, with that, with my neighbor, you know, the fence person came to put a fence up, and what they did knowingly put it on my property, and I went, but we were able to resolve it, you know, because when he said, well, yes, I know, I said, well, you need to move it, because I know once they encroach, it will be there forever, and anybody else that would buy the properties would not know who's, you know, where the property line was. And I know people are having privacy fences, and you know, and you may not be able to see, because sometimes I can't see all that I want to see in my neighborhood. However, if it's their right on their property to and fence their property, that's their right to do. So I, you know, that's all I can say to that, because it would be her desire if she want her property in fence. You know, it's nothing anybody else. It's just like the other person could put the fence completely around hers, and we do have double fences in our neighborhood because of that. But we're fine. And we do have some that's a little bit higher than others.
Mrs. Jared, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Mr. Cunning? Mr. Turner?
My one question for you, ma'am, the neighbor, if the fence was 4 feet instead of 6 feet, would you be able to then see down to the cul-de-sac, or would you still not be able to see? Thank you.
And just to clarify, I think she by right can build a 4 foot fence regardless. So, would someone care to make a motion? No, ma'am, we're done with the public comment part. Would anyone like to make a motion? We got to go somewhere.
No, I'll pass, because I'm too emotional into that. Because I can understand safety. I can understand everything that's being said. You know, sometimes we even put fences up not to be able to see another person's property, especially if it's being unkept. And the person has said that her property is not unkept. So, you know, I just don't know. Because the fence is there. And for her to have to go back, which will be costly, to have that fence taken down and brought down to the height of what, 4 feet?
Right.
So that need to be taken into consideration too.
I don't think it's quite proper etiquette for the chair to make a motion, but we'll get close to that if y'all don't move.
Can I ask Mr. Morrow a question?
Yes.
Is it possible to have part of the fence removed to the 4 foot level so that the neighbor could see the cul-de-sac?
Absolutely.
To the property line? I mean, to the building line?
Absolutely. You could set a stipulation that the fence could be 4 feet in height to a certain distance interior to the property.
That sounds reasonable.
And I don't think it's impossible to cut 2 feet off of the thing
either. Yeah, I don't
think
it is either.
So that's not like a big... Absolutely. Yeah. So, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve the variance with the condition that the fence in the front be reduced to 4 feet back to the face of the buildings.
The side fence, you mean?
The side fence, yes.
Do you have a distance?
No, I don't. It would just have to be to the front of the buildings.
Okay.
Do we have a setback distance there?
Sorry, let me see if I can get you a distance really quick. So we are now behind.
I ask a question? This is John Anagnost from the Planning and Urban Design Department at the city. So the typical standard in the zoning ordinance about front yard fences is that they have a maximum height of 4 feet for the portion that is fully opaque, and then they may extend to 6 feet as long as the portion between 3.5 and 6 feet is at least 70% transparent. And so it would be helpful for the review of a future building permit, a fence permit for this case, for the board to stipulate, does that condition allow a partially transparent extension of this fence to the 6 foot level, or must it be completely cut off at the 4 foot level?
Sure.
I'm a little confused. Are you asking us to, I mean, it doesn't seem we're talking about a variance for one specific case, and you're wanting a decision to base all future cases on.
No, just for this specific case, when this, if this is approved in the way that it's moved, when this property owner goes to modify her fence, is it required that she have no portion of the fence be above 4 feet tall, or that she may make use of the typical standard, which is that she could have a portion above 4 feet, but it must be partially transparent, 70% transparent? Would you allow that?
I think that would be a reasonable compromise. So she could place a little iron fence on top of the wood fence if she wanted to.
Correct, or a trellis or something of that nature, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long as the neighbor could see the cul-de-sac.
And I mean, 70% is a quantitative metric, so it can mm-hmm. be calculated. So could you please clarify your motion, Mrs. Jarrett?
Move to approve staff recommendation with the condition that the fence, the 4 foot fence, or this 6 foot fence between the houses be reduced to 4 feet back to the face of the houses.
32 feet.
Okay. Be reduced to 4 feet, 32 feet back from the property line or the beginning of the fence with the potential possibility of including an opaque portion up to 6 feet.
Okay, Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to grant the variance with the stipulation that 32 feet back the fence be reduced to 4 feet instead of 6 feet, with the option of making a 2 foot opaque extension on top of that 4 feet. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Well, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. The motion passes and variance is approved with conditions. All right. And that is the final petition, and I will call this meeting adjourned.